each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Father.
You always do this. You make me nervous because you come in at the very last minute.
Traffic was horrible.
Stop it. I know. I saw the expressway just from the window. We're right, for those who don't know, we're literally right on
the expressway.
On the expressway, or alongside it. Not literally on it, but
with the next lane, if you could say.
Exactly, yeah. Somebody said, you know, I should open up the window and have drive-by confessions,
right.
You know.
That would be cool.
Anyway, welcome. So let's, we'll pray. And then yesterday was a feast of St. John the 23rd. And we got a big event coming up here tomorrow here in Our Lady's Triangle. I want to make some mention of that. That's October 13th, which is the anniversary of the last apparition of Our Lady in Fatima, where they estimated 70,000 people witnessed the miracle of the sun. So that's going to be a special event that will... a procession from St. John Cantius to Holy Trinity, then over here to St. Stanislaus Kostka, what we call Our Lady's Triangle. So, but let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of the resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, a creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And from there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
O God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you, and I thank you. And I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love you, and do not thank you. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you, and I thank you. And I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love you, and do not thank you. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, I love you, and I thank you. And I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love you, and do not thank you. And we pray one decade of the rosary for peace, for the conversion of sinners, and for peace in the world. Today is what, Tuesday? So we let's just reflect on the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint John the 23rd,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. I kind of like to keep going on with that, the rosary.
Yeah, so, it's very calming.
It is calming. It really is. So we've got the, so just to mention, again, we've got this procession. Actually, it'll begin at St. John Cantius at 825 North Carpenter Street in Chicago, just kitty corner from. So we're on one side of the expressway. They're on the opposite side of the expressway, right off. We're right off Division Street. They're right off Chicago. And then, so the procession will be, there's a mass there at 6 o'clock. I believe it's going to be the Extraordinary Form, the Tridentine Mass. And after the mass and the procession with Our Lady of Fatima, we'll go to Holy Trinity, which is the Polish parish. It's everything is done in Polish there. And they'll stop in the church. And then the procession will come from St. John, from Holy Trinity, which is down the street from St. Stan's, two blocks away. You cross Division Street, and then from Holy Trinity, they'll come to St. Stan's, probably around 8 o'clock, between 8 and 8:30, depending. And then we'll have benediction here at St. Stanislaus Kostka, so it'll end here. But this is all in commemoration of the apparition of Our Lady in Fatima, the 13th, or the last of the apparitions. I think it's six apparitions, right? May, June, July, August, September, October, six apparitions. And it was the last apparition on the 13th, tomorrow's the anniversary, where the 70,000 people witnessed the miracle of the sun. And this was written in papers all over the Europe and even in the United States. I think the New York Times had an article on that as well. So a lot of skeptics, a lot of secular people, secular media witnessed this miracle as a confirmation of the very strong message that that we need conversion and we need peace. If there is not conversion, there will not be peace. We return to God. That was in 1917. But the message is certainly, if not, is as pertinent today, if not more so today than it was even then. And she said that Russia would spread her errors throughout the world. That was, the world was in the first war, World War I, which was interesting, too, because the government issued the rosaries, you know, the rosaries to the soldiers in the first war. And anyway, the war came to an end, but communism began during this time, during the Bolshevik Revolution, and indeed spread its errors throughout the world. And it's even more obvious today that the Marxist systemic atheism, communism, socialistic communism is just enveloping the world. And even our own country right now is under the threat of this takeover, in a sense, it seems, if we don't wake up and fight for our freedoms and for our democracy, our republic, because we're a democratic republic, you know, and we have to defend our constitutions, our Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. All this is under threat today. I don't think you can argue another way, to be honest.
People will.
Well, they will, but it's interesting, and we'll go into this, but if you recall the gospel on Sunday, and I don't know if we talked about it on Friday or not. I don't recall, but the young man went up to Jesus, and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit life everlasting?" And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There's only one who's good, and that's God in heaven." And, of course, Jesus is God in the flesh, but he's not yet revealed his messianic identity because he's pointing beyond himself to the Father. Now, all this will come to fruition in his farewell discourse in John's Gospel, and where he says, "The Father and I are one. You've seen me, you've seen the Father." But he's pointing beyond himself because certainly a lesson is being taught. We have to look beyond ourselves and look first and foremost to God. And so the young man said, and so Jesus said, you know the commandments. Have you kept the commandments? And the young man said, "Yes, since I've been young, of course." And he says, "Good, now I want you to sell everything, give to the poor, come and follow me, and you will have life, eternal life." The young man went away sad because he had many possessions. And Jesus the gospel says he looked on him lovingly. What's interesting is, we're talking about the change in the nation. I went to public school. And in the public school, and I've mentioned this before on the radio, and I mentioned it Sunday, but in the public school in those days, the earlier days when I was in grade school, we were taught the Ten Commandments in the public school. We prayed, the day began with prayer. We prayed before we went to lunch. We prayed at the end of the day. This was in a public school. All that was taken away. You can't even mention the Ten Commandments, no prayer. Or they might allow, some schools might allow a moment of silence, but no Judeo-Christian prayer, nothing today. But there's certain, and they've taken the commandments out of the courthouses. They were in all the courthouses. I think they've been taken out of all the courthouses, or most of them, I think, throughout the country, if not all of them. But the but yet, you know, you can't talk about God, you can't talk about the commandments of God, and yet they're indoctrinating our children. Right now, the real push is for critical race theory and for this, the sexual education is as perverse as it can be, and that, you know, already beginning with the kindergartners, they're indoctrinating this transgender stuff, you know, all this LGBT, whatever, all those letters, all this stuff is being indoctrinated. There's just a major attack on the father, on patriarchy, on the family, on the church, Christianity, Judeo-Christianity. It's very overt, becoming more and more overt. And so even parents who are being woke to this reality and are fighting back, you know, showing up at school board meetings in big groups and stating strongly their concern, now they've been deemed by the government as domestic terrorists.
Yep.
It's just bizarre. This is beyond bizarre. You know, this is what happens, you know, when we take God out of the equation. We take away the commandments. Nobody is held responsible. They're so concerned about equity, but nothing with regards to meritocracy. You know, that you merit, you know, it's the, what is it, the It's the character of the person that has to be raised up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a society that is that creates victims and creates divisions, and it's gotten way out of hand, and it's in being implemented by government, by the media, the mainstream media, certainly the elites of Hollywood, and even so often in the sports arena. It's really bizarre. We're living in a very, very bizarre time. But again, if you don't lay the foundation, but certainly the systemic atheism, socialistic communism, Marxism, wants these divisions.
Mm-hmm.
They want the destruction of the family, the absence of the father, God out of the way. It's a systemic atheism is what it is. And yet you create this vacuum, and there's, you know, I have this, this just is my opinion, but the defunding of the police, the indoctrination that they're now forcing into the military, even with the vax mandates and all that, it seems to me, and this is I was actually talking to somebody yesterday who had read a book, and she was saying it's everything that led to Nazism is happening. It's unfolding to a T, according to this book. And there's a lot of books out now. I can't give you the titles to them right now. I don't tend to stay with religious reading, but I do. I read about these things, and I listen to a lot of this as well. And, you know, whereas at one point I thought, you know, some of this was conspiracy theory and all this, the New World Order, today I you can see it. It's just right there in your face. Yeah. But all the tactics, the destruction of the father, the absence of the father, is creating this vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
So the police, what was it in Seattle, 500 police officers left their job. There came a point where they, you know, first of all, you defund defunding the police. The police are demonized. They can't, you know, they have to hold back in the face of criminal violence, criminality. I mean, we know, you know, and so many, and I've talked to people who work in some of these places where, you know, people come in and they just take what they want and they go away, and there's nothing you can do. You know, you don't call anybody. It's, you don't call the police. But to create, so the funding the police, and now with the vaccine mandate, you've got to take the vaccine, otherwise you lose your job. There were 400 or 500 police officers in Seattle, I believe it was, just late last week, who walked off the job. The same thing is happening with healthcare workers and the like. And, well, we see what's going on with Southwest Airlines right now. But what's interesting, and now this in the military as well, but even as they're indoctrinating the military and this equity and critical race theory and all this kind of stuff, really stoking divisions. And then you put the mandate on top of that, they're going to walk as well. But all, it's my opinion, but it seems certainly purposeful, and it fits the tactics that led up to Nazism, fascism, communism, and the like. You create a vacuum, and then you got to fill the vacuum because you've got to have law and order, right? Mm-hmm. But they just don't. So it's creating a vacuum for, like the SS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are people who will then completely conform to government, not just government overreach, but an ideology that is anything that would resemble the nation we grew up in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's interesting, Father. I'm trying to be quiet here because I don't think the things I'm going to say are going to come from a peaceful kind of perspective. It's funny you should say this because a lot of times I would have never believed this when you're speaking. I am amazed how there are people out there that really would turn off because they don't see this to be the case. But it's interesting. I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, and he was telling me about what defund the police really means. And, you know, in short, he was basically telling me, you want to take the money and don't spend so much money because police are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, like psychological, you know. He was just going on about a lot of things about, it's not saying get rid of the police. It's saying to just don't spend so much money on some of the things that they don't need to be doing. And it was interesting when he said that because I tried to pay attention, but in my mind, I have seen all the pictures of what that movement has been doing to police, making them look, you know, I've seen the police sit there and get bottles thrown at them,
right.
And things like that, and rocks, and they sit there and they have to take it. So, you know, I mean, I don't know where people, and again, I'm sorry to say it this way, but I wonder what people really see and understand about this, because it's not what this friend of mine was saying. And then I said, well, where, can you tell me where somebody has explained it this way? And that's the thing that really got me, because I've never heard it explained that way. And he said, yes, they have.
Explained what way?
Like that. Like, it's not about taking money away from the police or getting rid of the police. It's about all these things that police do that they shouldn't be doing. And again,
such as?
Well, you know, something like he was mentioning it, you know, a few police have to do psychological testing on people or things like that. It was making no sense because I know police do a lot of things that, you know, I guess in a way, you know, things that maybe a social worker should be doing. That's what he was saying. He was saying, well, you know, police aren't social workers. They shouldn't be doing that. There should be other people doing that. And the money is going to the police for this service. But, I kind of think, too, and this was one of the things that kind of bothered me, too, because I know even teachers that do many, many more things than just teaching. So how do you then say to them, oh, maybe we shouldn't be giving so much money to the police or to the teachers because, well, you know, well, it's just amazing
it just seems,
the perspective that people have.
Seems to me what's happened is their hands are kind of tied behind their back.
Yeah, and that's
and
what
so,
I see.
The violence is rampant in the city just over here on in Wicker Park on Milwaukee. I heard this morning or yesterday that there was a, you know, these people are just shootouts, you know, and
shootouts
one
and carjackings.
Well, this was just right outside a nightclub, and I think it was an Irish pub or something, you know.
Yeah.
Over here, just right over here.
See, my
question. One guy was shot. A young guy was killed, and a number of other people were wounded.
Yeah.
The violence is it's everywhere now.
Mm-hmm. And that's my thing. If we're gonna talk about this, and I posed this question to this friend of mine. I said, well, what's going to happen when there's no police to protect you? What then?
But that's what that's,
and that's
I guess what I'm saying is that they create a vacuum.
Exactly. That's what I think
it seems like there's something purposeful here because it doesn't make any sense. There's no common sense to what's happening with the police, with the military, you know, that, you know, you're going to allow 500 police officers to leave their job, or was it where this all started in Minneapolis, St. Paul? They wanted to abolish the police.
Yeah.
Well, then you consciously create a vacuum. They didn't do it, but you know the point is.
I think this is the real thing that people are not really focusing on. It's very good, and this friend of mine was also one of those people that does not like the police, and that's you know. That's fine, you know, at this point, that's fine. But when you start
because
asking,
I just want to say, it seems to me that they're, if anything, they want to turn them into social workers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're
and at the line of questioning that I was doing, I don't know if he was realizing this and then had to, people are quick to,
And I really do say it's a kind of brainwashing. Just like somebody will listen to us today and say, oh, well, yeah, these guys, they're brainwashed into believing this and that and the other thing. So, and we, again, we were going on talking about the rioters and the peaceful protesting.
We've seen it all. There's everything has been, it's in your face. Everything is in your face.
Exactly.
It's what's going on in the in the society. It's in the nation. It's in the in the world, in the church.
Yeah.
It's there's this major divide. In fact, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I want to talk about John the 23rd, and just and maybe expound on this a little bit. Where have we come as a church, and what needs to happen? Where do we need to go? And it really goes back to the gospel, because Jesus told the young man. Basically, you know, you keep the commandments. That's good, because that's what's expected of you. And the young man, yeah, I said Sunday, maybe you almost. I read it almost as though he were a bit offended, because well, yes, of course I've kept the commandments. That's what we do. We keep the commandments. We were taught that from the time we were very young. So of course I've kept the commandments. It's good. They're good. But now give me your life. Give me your life. Cleave to me. And that's when he went away sad, because he had many possessions. There were impediments, barriers, obstacles preventing him from giving himself completely over to Christ. But anyway, we'll be right back. Let's see here. I'm Father Anthony. That's who I am, right on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750. WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI. Do this now? Okay, so Nick is like, okay. So this Wednesday, that's tomorrow, October 13th, at 6 p.m., please join with the parishes of Our Lady's Triangle, St. Stanislaus Kostka, St. John Cantius, and Holy Trinity, with their pastors in a major Marian procession that will include members of the Chicago Police, the Chicago Fire Department, medical personnel, clergy, religious, coming to pray the rosary for peace in Chicago. During the procession, the rosary will be prayed in English, Spanish, and Polish. The procession begins with Mass at 6 p.m. at St. John Cantius, 825 North Carpenter in Chicago, then on to Holy Trinity, and ending at St. Stanislaus Kostka. In 1917, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to three shepherd children in Fatima, bringing a message of conversion, peace, and hope. In memory of this event, you are invited to process and pray the rosary for peace this Wednesday. For complete information, please visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org, and scroll down to events.
The Winds of Change.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the blue mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Please bring your family to the cross outside of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, Saturday, October 16th at 12 noon, to join the thousands of faithful across the nation to pray the rosary for peace as Our Lady of Fatima requested. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and the two Tonys here, so we're just going to, we do kind of ramble. just trying to figure things out. But, you know, the point is, people are angry. People are asking me all the time, and this is not something that, a lot of people, you know, people have got jobs to do. They've got their own stresses in life and their own, but yet they see what's going on, yeah, and they're confused as to why is this happening and what's going to change it. I want to go back to yesterday was a feast of John the 23rd, St. John, Pope John the 23rd, Angelo Roncalli, was the future Pope John the 23rd. He was he was born on November 25th, 1881, and died on June 3rd, 1963. But he was he served in the Vatican Diplomatic Corps, became the Archbishop of Venice in 1953, and was elected Pope on October 28th, 1958. On January 29th, 1959, at the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls, he called for an ecumenical council. And that was the Second Vatican Council. From the Second Vatican Council came changes that reshaped the face of Catholicism, a comprehensively revised liturgy, a stronger emphasis on ecumenism, and a new approach to the world. So I want to read from his own words, because the documents of the Second Vatican Council are really impressive. It was a pastoral council, so it was not there was no issuing new dogmas or trying to give us a deeper understanding of certain dogmatic the church's dogmas. But it was more of a pastoral council. How do we engage in the world? And but he says that the major interest of the ecumenical council is this: that the sacred heritage of Christian truth be safeguarded and expounded with greater efficacy. The doctrine embraces the whole man, body and soul. It bids us live as pilgrims here on earth as we journey onwards toward our heavenly homeland. He saw the council's main activity as a safeguard, or as to safeguard the truth, but also to present the same truth to the modern world. He said, what is needed at the present time is a new enthusiasm, a new joy, and serenity of mind, and the unreserved acceptance by all of the entire Christian faith without forfeiting that accuracy and precision in its presentation which characterized the proceedings of the Council of Trent and the First Vatican Council. What is needed, and what everyone imbued with a truly Christian, Catholic, and Apostolic spirit craves today, is that this doctrine shall be more widely known, more deeply understood, and more penetrating in its effects on men's moral lives. So the 20th century saw a rapid advance in technology and a radical change in living. I mean, and in the 21st century, even more so, you know. But St. John the 23rd recognized these advances and believed the church needed to address the world in a new way, preserving the truth and communicating it with renewed enthusiasm. So a unique aspect of John the 23rd's approach was to not focus on the negative, but to focus on the positive. Instead of issuing condemnations, he wanted to make clarifications. He said the church has always opposed these errors and often condemned them with the utmost severity. Today, however, Christ's bride, the church, prefers the balm of mercy to the arm of severity. She believes that present needs are best served by explaining more fully the purport of her doctrines rather than by publishing condemnations. So, the council continues to affect the church today, and it is important for all Catholics to go back to the council's documents to understand it more fully and see how the Holy Spirit helped to preserve the heritage of truth in the modern world. So the question is, where have we come? You know, certainly there was a great enthusiasm after the council, but what happened truly was that the documents were in many ways hijacked, distorted, and in some ways actually perverted. And so where is the new springtime in the life of the church? It begs the question, you know, what, and certainly after any council, there's this kind of this, a certain upheaval, and but this has been, this is unprecedented, what we're experiencing, the great apostasy I speak of often. And, you know, we go back to our Lady of Fatima and the messages that she gave, you know, the need for conversion, the need for a peace, otherwise, you know, and it, systemic atheism would spread throughout the world. She didn't say specifically systemic atheism, but she said that the heirs of Russia will spread throughout the world. This was the beginning of the full flowering of systemic atheism, communism. And she said that if we didn't heed the message, that there would be a greater war, and it could be the annihilation of nations. She talked about, to Lucia, this was even after the apparitions, or even during that time, because the two of the children, Jacinta and Francesco, both died young, and she said they would die young, and they did, during the Spanish pandemic. Mm-hmm. They died, and but Lucia lived up until I think she died around the time that Pope John Paul II died, yeah. Somewhere around there. And so she continued to have locutions. I don't know if she had apparitions, but locutions, or she continued to spread the message. And and so the consistent with a number of other Marian apparitions that have been approved by the Church, you know, her prophetic message about the destruction of the family and the infighting in the Church, you know, cardinal against cardinal and bishop against bishop and priest against priest, and the destruction of the family and the impurity, and she basically foretold the whole sexual revolution. I always say that it's not the church's obsession. Sex is not the church's obsession. It's the obsession of society that is powerfully infiltrated and affected the church if we're not astute to the full gospel message. And by the way, it's interesting. So, you know, John the 23rd, so yesterday was the feast day. The gospel for yesterday was quite interesting, because Jesus, let's see if I can find it here. So I had read this at the Mass yesterday, John the 23rd's, you know, with no severity, but with mercy, which is the greatest attribute of God is mercy. And from the cross, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Going back to the gospel on Sunday, what must I do to inherit life everlasting? Well, have you obeyed the commandments? Because this is necessary. This is important. And he says, "Yes, of course I have." Okay, now I want you to cleave to me. Give your life. Give me your life. You know. So, yesterday's gospel, as I was reading Pope John the 23rd, who speaks about this new relationship that the church would have with the world, trying to clarify the truth, not to diminish, not to accommodate, but to enter into dialogue with the world, but with the truth that has been handed down to us. And what is beautiful and what is positive, that it's life-giving, although it binds us to fulfill the law of God, to be obedient, to have relationship with the Lord. What happened was there was enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm was, you know, people went out into the world as if we're going to befriend the world, and so we accommodate, and it's not that we're changing the world, but the world is changing us, you know. So as I was reading John the 23rd, then I just read the gospel, and I brought everybody back to the gospel, because Jesus said, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here, referring to himself. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation, condemn it because of the preaching of Jonah. They repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here. You remember that Ninevites were pagans, but the law of God is written in, the laws of God are written into our hearts, and so they, you know, we can distinguish between what is right and wrong, and so they were called to repent, otherwise they would experience their own destruction, and they did repent. But if you're following me, what's happened is that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world. But we have to understand what it is we need. What do we need to be saved from? Well, we got to be saved. You know, God, save me from myself. Save me from the things of this world that it can lead to my own damnation. Awaken in me a desire to seek you, to know you, to love you, and to serve you. So this is, Nick, my calendar, I mean, the clock just went off. I'm kind of not completely here today, seems to me. Yeah, okay, we're going to take a break, and I'll come back, and I want to try to connect this for you to the synodal path that Pope Francis has just launched, to encounter, to listen, and discern. And it's interesting. It's interesting because often I hear this from so many people of faith are feeling in many ways kind of orphaned in the church, by the church, because there seems to be a lack of clarity when it comes to, you know, what we believe. The fact that two-thirds of Catholics supposedly don't believe that Jesus is really in the Holy Eucharist is a major dogmatic flaw, but which is manifested in a moral depravity that we've just kind of become morally depraved without really knowing it. It's a little bit of what we were talking about. You know, you defund the police, the destruction of the family, the overreach by government, what appears to be a tyranny, violence on the rise, suicide on the rise. I mean, that young people committing suicide. I mean, in my day, that was unheard of. You didn't hear that. None of that was a. So there's been this radical change in society, and the church hasn't been quite effective in bringing the truth, the beautiful truth of her message, which is the good news of the gospel, which binds us in order to set us free, and bringing us to contribute to the proper ordering of society. Instead, we seem to accommodate or allow the world to change us rather than we changing the world. It's a major spiritual battle, but a major infiltration into the life of the church, because there was this enthusiastic attempt to completely change the church. Even the Pope quoted somebody the other day when he inaugurated the synodal path, or the synod that would study synods, that we don't want a new church, we want a different church. That's a little bit frightening to me, even though it was a theologian that said that. But what does that mean exactly? How do we interpret that? Anyway, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for the Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI. This Wednesday, again, October 13th, that's tomorrow, at 6 p.m., join with the parishes of Our Lady's Triangle, St. Stanislaus Kostka, St. John Cantius, Holy Trinity, with their pastors in a major Marian procession that will include members of the Chicago Police, the Chicago Fire Department, medical personnel, clergy, and religious coming to pray the Rosary for peace in Chicago. During the procession, the Rosary will be prayed in English, Spanish, and Polish. The procession begins with Mass at 6 p.m. at St. John Cantius, that's 825 North Carpenter here in Chicago, then on to Holy Trinity and ending here at St. Stanislaus Kostka. In 1917, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to three shepherd children in Fatima, bringing a message of conversion, peace, and hope. In memory of this event, you are invited to process and pray the Rosary for peace this Wednesday. For complete information, please visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org, and scroll down to events.
The Wings of Change.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
When we're in crisis, where do we turn? We turn to our first responders, the people who run to danger to protect us. These days, our first responders do not often receive the acknowledgement they deserve for their bravery and personal sacrifice. On Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m., St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish celebrates a blue mass recognizing our first responders, including police, fire, and emergency medical personnel. Come and celebrate with us at the blue mass Sunday, October 24th at 10 a.m. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change.
That was quick.
Tony's, yeah. Boy, I tell you, I'm just going to... This is one of those days, you know,
yeah.
I can tell already. I hope you guys are still with me. So, having said what I said about Pope John the 23rd and the beautiful documents of the Second Vatican Council, which obviously were wrongly implemented in much of the church, distorted, in some cases really perverted, this going out to the world with a balm of mercy. Certainly the church has to be, has to reflect God's greatest attribute, which is mercy, but not at the expense of her dogmas or the commandments that are binding on all of us, that there's something very, very, the truth will set you free, right? But rather than change the world, it seemed the world changed us. And we're in a very interesting place in history. We're witnessing this great apostasy, and we can't be naive about this going away from the faith and this call to authenticity, which I have no doubt that the Pope wants authenticity, but it's the fact that devout Catholics who are sincere and quite humble in trying to live the faith are somehow often, or not somehow, but just verbally chided. It's just strange to me, you know. And this is where people are, you know, what kind of reality are we living in? But in any case, he kicked off his 2021 to 2023 synod on synodality, attacking the tendency. I'm reading from an article here, attacking the tendency to adopt old solutions and calling for a church of listening. And as he was doing this, there were all these violent clashes against Italy's medical tyranny, which erupted in Rome, hundreds of thousands of people at the Piazza Popolo, or I think it was that. I think that's where it was. And so he spoke about the theme of the synod for a synodal church: communion, participation, and mission. And he quoted I just mentioned this before the break. The French theologian, Father Conger, urging we must not make another church, we must make a different church. And so, as the article says, and I felt it too, because this is the way it's been for all his papacy, in a veiled swipe at traditionalists, the Pope slammed the slogan, things have always been done this way, calling it a poison in the life of the church. The people who do this make the mistake of not taking seriously the spirit of the age, which risks adopting old solutions for new problems, insisting that the church should be an open place where everyone feels at home and can participate. So he says we got to arouse, pray that the Holy Spirit would arouse new languages and put words on the lips of words of life on our lips, preserve us from becoming a museum church, beautiful but silent, with so much past and little future. It's true, you know, our churches are not museums, but there needs to be a beautiful silence imbued with the Spirit of God, you know. And in other words, it's we've got the. So I guess the bottom line is we're coming to the end of the show, and I apologize because I feel like I'm stuttering and tripping over my words, and I'm all over the place. But this idea of encounter, which is important, I get it. But we, you know, the issue with me is that people are hungering for this transcendental, the mysticism, the relationship with God, and we seem to be, I mean, so we call the vertical the horizontal. I've mentioned this many times before, but we seem, after the council, it became so much a church centered on man and woman, the human person, but at the seeming absence of the vertical, which is a right relationship with God. The two have to balance themselves out. Not everybody's going to feel at home. If somebody doesn't want, I mean, that's like those disciples who walked away, and Jesus let them go because they couldn't accept. They said his teaching, he was speaking about the Eucharist, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you have life in you. And those disciples said, this is intolerable. Who could admit this teach? This is crazy. And they chose no longer to be in the company of Jesus, and they walked away. And Jesus let him go, and he looked at the 12, and he says, do you wish to go as well? Knowing that one would betray him, and Peter said, Lord, where do we go? We believe you have the words of life everlasting. The point is, in the world, yes, we want to convey God's greatest attribute, which is mercy, love and truth, justice and mercy, but not at not at the expense of truth. And there are those who will not accept. And that's why Jesus said, we will be at enmity with the world. We will be hated on account of his name. We will have trouble. But he says, be at peace. Take courage. I've conquered the world. And so we have to understand that we're not going to befriend the world, and yet our mission is to the world, in the world and to the world, but we're in the world but not of the world. And so what's needed is, in a word, holiness, relationship with Christ, just like that young man. Yes, keep the commandments, but also give me your life. Hold nothing back. All right, everybody, I hope you're still with me. We'll be back. Thanks for being with us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The